Amen. Thanks, Kit. Well, this week, I got my knee x-rayed this week on Wednesday, and then I went for my first MRI yesterday. That was quite interesting. Well, I guess luckily I didn't have to go all the way into the machine, but that thing was loud. They had me, even with my ears plugged, you know, it still almost hurt you. I mean, it's loud. It's a loud machine. So they want to go through the conservative approach with my knee, have me go to PT twice a week, do some exercise in the swimming pool and biking and stuff like that. So I always get a little skeptical of doctors. I don't know. I just kind of feel that this is the long way around to what really has to happen with my knee. But we'll see what happens. So pray, if you could pray for me, that'd be great. I am glad that I'm starting to be able to take care of it. So hopefully I get to playing basketball with the kids again. Let me just pray for the message this morning, that God would speak to us, that our ears would open to what He wants to say to us this morning. Let's pray. Father, I thank you, Lord, for your word. I thank you, Lord, that you are an incredible God of new beginnings. And I pray, Father, today that you'd speak to us through your word, that we would hear what you want to say to us. In Jesus' name, amen. For first, I have a question this morning. Have you ever met anyone famous? Movie star, writer, a famous musician or singer, anybody? Okay, Natalie, who was it? Okay, anybody else?
I can't think of her name.
But it was famous. Okay, so you met someone famous, you're excited. Okay,
Carol Channing stayed at my hotel.
Carol Channing, okay, and Phyllis? Okay. Okay. From Nashville. Okay. So you've ever met someone famous, someone like totally, wow, you see that person, you've heard about that person. Maybe you didn't even know that about that person that much, but it's exciting when you meet someone maybe famous or well-known, or maybe well-known at one time. I remember one time I was in a line at the Star Store in Langley on Whidbey Island, and I was in the line, and I remember seeing this guy. I go, man, he sure looks familiar. He looks like, you know, that guy in the Rocky movie. Looks like Apollo Creed. Well, I found out later on the ferry, when we were on the ferry, everyone's like, oh, did you see him? Did you see him? Like, who? It was Carl Weathers, the guy who played Apollo Creed on the Rocky movies. So I thought that was kind of cool. I thought, wow. And I even had a friend, his name was Paul. And Sandra, do you guys know who Sandra Bullock is? I mean, people today don't. We know who they are, the newer generation, like, who's that? But Sandra Bullock was on Whidbey Island filming, was being filmed in a movie, and my friend Paul had his camera, and he was trying to get a picture of her. Of course, they're running people away, but he got a picture of her, and she's blurry in the picture, but you could tell it's Sandra Bullock. And later, he told me, he was trying to, you know, he was hanging out with his camera, and he saw her, and he went up to her, and she was in a hurry, and she was running to her car, and she let him run along with her as she ran up to get into her car. So he thought that was really cool. So maybe you have or you haven't met a famous person. Well, here's the next question. If you could meet a favorite person, who would it be? Who would it be, Joe? Jesus Christ, okay. If you can meet maybe a musician, should I even ask this of Natalie? Who would you want to meet? Did you just go to a concert? I'm putting her on a spot. You don't have to answer that. But okay, but you know, we have certain people that we would like to meet. If I can meet a movie star, we were just talking about, it's funny, we were just talking about that last night. I would want to meet Morgan Freeman. So I don't know, something about his voice. I mean, he seems like the perfect president. His voice is, I want Morgan Freeman for president. He just has that voice, right? He has the great voice. I would like to meet Morgan Freeman. I remember Di and I, before we had kids, We went to a bed and breakfast in Amarillo, Texas. And at this bed and breakfast, we went there, and this lady had a picture of Morgan Freeman and his wife. Or actually, it was just Morgan Freeman in front of the sign of her bed and breakfast. And we asked her about it, and she said, you know, it's so strange. I received this phone call from this woman, and she wanted a book a night with her husband, but she didn't let them know who he was. And so when they show up, her and her husband, it was Morgan Freeman. And I guess he went down and hung out with her husband, and they're talking about aviation, because I guess he likes to fly. And she asked him if she could get a picture, and he let her take a picture of him in front of the sign of her bed and breakfast. And obviously that was very exciting. So I would want to meet Morgan Freeman. Now my wife, what would like to meet who?
Tom Hanks.
Yeah, so my wife likes Tom Hanks. Maybe too much, but she likes Tom Hanks. But wouldn't it be exciting to meet someone famous? What would it be like to meet God? You know, we finished the book of Revelations in our children's Sunday school this morning, the youth Sunday school. And it said that they talked about the river of life and the tree of life and all this stuff coming from the New Jerusalem and all that. But it says that they will see God. What will it be like to meet God, to be introduced to God? Not by faith that we are now, but to be introduced to God. You know, I just kind of think of some of the pictures of even, you know, in the Bible where you remember Moses. I mean, Moses was up on the mountain, right? And then he says, God, show me your glory. And what happens? God showed him his glory. God would not let him look him in the face. And he put him in a cleft of that rock, and he moved his hand away, and he let him see his back. Yet what did Moses do? He bowed down and he worshiped. Or when I think of someone being introduced to God, I think of Isaiah in Isaiah 6, where Isaiah saw the throne in a vision, the throne of God, and the angels worshiping. And then what does he do? He falls down. Woe am I! I am undone! I am a man of unclean lips, living among an unclean people. How would we respond if we met God? And then I think in Revelations 4, that every time the creatures worship God, that the 24 elders around the throne fall down, they take their thrones and they fall down and they worship. What would it be like to meet God? Well, today we begin the book of Genesis. Over the last 2 weeks, I did an intro to the book of Genesis. Well, today we will see that God is going to introduce himself to us in the very beginning of the Bible. If you have your Bibles, open your Bibles to Genesis chapter 1, beginning in verse 1. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. In the beginning, God. And I want to first focus on the name God. God here is Elohim in the Hebrew, Elohim. And it's interesting because at the very beginning, in the beginning, God, it's almost like God is saying, hello, I am Elohim. The very first name of God we are introduced to in God's word. And what's interesting about this name is it is a plural. It's a plural. So it's like this same name in other portions of Bibles could be used to describe other gods. But here it's describing the supreme God, the majestic God. But what's really interesting is it says in the beginning God, plural, created, singular, action. And not only does this name describe the supreme and the majesty of God, but it points to the triune God that we served. How many of you guys have heard of the Trinity? Right? The Trinity. Here, God is introducing himself, yes, as the supreme and majestic God, but he's introducing himself also as the triune God. In Christian theology, we call that the Trinity. God the Father, it's one God, right? Three persons, one essence. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. And here in this very, very first three verses, what's interesting is we say, in the beginning, God, Elohim. In verse 2, it says, and the Spirit was hovering over the face of the water. So we see God, and then we see the Spirit. And then in verse 3, it says, God said, let there be light. Well, there's God, the Father. We see the Holy Spirit. Well, it's interesting. In John 1, 1 through 3, it says this. In the beginning was the Word. And we know later, right, in verses 12, and the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. The Word was Jesus. In the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. And without Him, nothing was made that was made. In Him was life, and the life was the light of men. So Jesus was there. In the beginning, Elohim, the triune God, was there. We see God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. What's interesting, if you ever go to Matthew chapter 3, remember at the baptism of Jesus, He goes to John the Baptist, and John the Baptist does not want to baptize Him. And remember what happens? He gives in to Jesus' request. He gets baptized. So what happens is Jesus gets baptized. Jesus is there. When He comes out of the water, what happens? A Spirit descends from heaven and ascends and goes out and hangs out on Jesus. So you see the Spirit. And then the voice comes from heaven. This is My beloved Son in whom I'm well pleased. We see Jesus. We see the Spirit. And then we see the Father. And then we also see in Matthew 28, 19 to 20, where Jesus said these words, go therefore, make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, in the name of the Son, and in the name of the Holy Spirit. We serve a triune God. One God, three persons. And honestly, if I could truly understand it and explain it more, I probably would. I don't. It's a mystery. You hear about it and you come up with all these analogies. Well, God's like an egg, has a shell, the whites and the yolk. Or God is like the different parts of, they just come up with different analogies for us to understand and grasp the idea that one God, three persons, and how that works. But it is a mystery. And we see that, a hint of it, in the beginning of Genesis. Now, if this was the only place we saw it, we would not probably come up with that theology of the Trinity. One thing we must understand when we interpret Scripture is in the Bible, you could almost come up with almost any type of theology in the Bible if you interpret incorrectly. You need to look at the Word of God, and if it says something here, how do you interpret it? You interpret with other portions of Scripture. Scripture with Scripture. If not, you could come up with bizarre, out in left field beliefs. Oh, I believe in reincarnation. It says it here. And you look at it and go, I can see how you could look at it that way. But if you look at here, no, you're not interpreting it correctly. So the only reason I'm saying this about Elohim is because we have the rest of the Bible to interpret the Bible by the Bible. If you do that, you won't come up with all these weird theologies. Because you look at the whole Word of God, and we see that when it comes to the triune God. Here in Genesis, in the beginning, Elohim created. And God is introducing Himself, I am Elohim. But you know, there's a lot more to this name of Elohim. It said, in the beginning, God. Before time, before space and the material universe, there was Elohim in the beginning. How do I describe to you eternity? How do I describe to you infinity? Cal always likes to say, oh, I think there's that many, birds. Or he'll say, oh, on the sand of the ocean, I think there's infinity. And he'll come up with these high, outrageous numbers to try to count something. How do we describe eternity with a God who existed before we existed, before the world? Elohim existed before time. God existed. Tony Evans said this, quote, everything for God is right now. Because, excuse me,
Everything for God is right now, because he has no past, he has no future. He is right now, ever-present God. Excuse me. I'm still fighting that cold I had about a week and a half ago. And congestion. Let me just read that again. Tony Evans said, quote, "Everything for God is right now. Because he has no past, he has no future, he is a right now, ever-present God." Unquote. Think about this. God is not restrained by time. He knows the past, the present, the future. He knows all things. He's, what do they call that? Omniscient. And you know what's truly amazing? That God lives in us through his Spirit. The omniscient God, the all-knowing God, lives inside of you. Do we live as if that's true? I don't. I worry. I get worried about things. I don't know what's going to happen. I freak out. I have sleeplessness. Does anyone experience that at all? At work, a job? I'm doing heating. I come across a problem. It's not easy. It's difficult. And I'm trying to figure it out and troubleshoot. Do you ever think that maybe God knows the answer to that? I remember my dad telling me, many times, there'd be times he'd be stuck. He says, you know what? I'd ask God, God, just give me understanding. And all of a sudden, boom, something, what? What's that? And he'd look over it and he'd find the answer. Do you, when we have a question, we don't know things, do we go to God and ask him? Do we expect him to speak and guide us? If it's through someone, through God's word, or whatever, do we expect that? Or do we like the idea of God, that he's there, but we really don't believe it through the way we live? Because the way we live determines what we believe. Right? So as I'm challenged, you know, I believe in prayer. But do I pray? Maybe I like the idea of prayer, but I don't really believe in it. I think there's a difference. We say we believe, but we don't live as if we believe. So do we truly believe it in truth? Are you ever scared of the future? Are you fearful of present circumstances in your life? God has the answer. He knows the beginning and the end. He knows when to tell us, and he's not in a hurry like we are. We're like, hey, I want this done. Come on, God, you need to do it now. And God's like, I know the beginning. I know the end. Trust me. I will guide you in my time and in my way. Will you trust me? We do not need to fear. We do not need to worry. We serve Elohim. But also Elohim, what else do we learn from this name of Elohim? Elohim is also omnipresent. He is everywhere. Tony Evans said this quote, he is here, he's there, he's everywhere. Elohim created the heavens and the earth, existed outside of it, yet Elohim also fills the heaven and the earth, existing in it. He is imminently everywhere, unquote. I mean, you just look at these incredible verses. One of my favorite psalms in the book of Psalms is Psalm 139, where David describes this omnipresent, everywhere God. He says this in verse 7 of Psalm 139, "Where can I go from your spirit? Where can I flee from your presence? If I ascend into heaven, you are there. If I make my bed in hell, behold, you are there. If I take the wings of the morning or dwell in the uttermost parts of the sea, even there your hand shall lead me and your right hand shall hold me." In Jeremiah 23, beginning in verse 23, it says this, "Am I a God near at hand, says the Lord, and not a God afar off? Can anyone hide himself in secret places so I shall not see him, says the Lord? Do I not fill the heaven and the earth, says the Lord." Whew. Do you ever feel alone? Like God doesn't see? He feels far away. You're not alone. He's there. Do you feel in the circumstances of maybe in a tragedy, a hardship, or health issues, or insecurities, or family problems, whatever they are, and you feel alone? You are not alone. You may feel it, but you are not alone. He is there. He's with us.
We are never alone. The scary thing is when we do good and bad, God is there. Yeah, that's kind of scary. I do something that maybe I know I shouldn't be doing, or, oh, I'm okay, or whatever, and he's there. He knows everything. He's omniscient. He's also omnipresent. He's everywhere. So here we see in the book of Genesis, God introducing himself. Hey, you know what? In the beginning, before everything, I know, I'm everywhere. I'm Elohim. I want to introduce myself. I am Elohim. I'm a God.
But there's one other aspect of Elohim I want to focus on this morning. When God introduces himself as Elohim, he does something to enforce his power and his majesty. Have you ever met someone who boasted great things, but really weren't very good at what they boasted about doing?
Oh, yeah, man, I'm good at basketball, I'm good. And he gets out there and you're kind of, well, he boasts big words, but he really can't do much. Or maybe you see that with some different football players or basketball players on TV. They boast how awesome they are, and maybe they are pretty good. But maybe compared to someone else, they're really overly selling themselves. Well, here, God doesn't oversell himself. He says, you know what? In the beginning, before everything existed, God, Elohim, did what? I created the heavens and the earth. You're talking about the power of God. I think that's awesome. The power of God.
God, he does not just boast with hot air like many people we know. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. It's almost like he's saying, hey, I'm Elohim. Watch what I can do. And then he does it. The heavens and the earth. In the beginning, Elohim created the heavens and the earth. The earth was without form and void, and the darkness was on the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God was hovering over the face of the waters. Then God said, let there be light. As we'll begin to explore next week in God's incredible power, he begins to create the universe through his word, through the breath of his mouth. We serve an incredible God. We serve a God who has the power to create. The word used here is bara, means to create. He created everything. He has the power to create something from nothing. In the Latin, this word is called ex nihilo, something from nothing. And even though we don't see that word directly in God's word, we see it referred to in his word. In Hebrews 11:3, it says this: by faith we understand the word that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that the things which are seen were not made with things which are visible. And then Psalm 33:6 says, by the word of the Lord the heavens were made, and all the host of them by the breath of his mouth. And then in Psalms 148:5 it says, let them praise the name of the Lord, for he commanded and they were created. God has the power to create. Next week, we're going to go and look at some of the incredible things as he begins to speak. He creates it, and we see that God created it good. And when God says things are good, they're good. You may ask how your life's going. Oh, I'm pretty good. When God says, I make something, he does it good. And we'll begin to see that next week. He is a master designer. He's a master creator. And whatever he creates is good. But you know what's awesome with God is he's also a God that can create something. Not only can he create something from nothing, is he also has the power to come and take something and create something out of that. And we see that even at the very beginning in Genesis, remember? About man. What did he do? I'm going to make man. He takes man from the dust. And he formed him into a man and breathed into him the breath of life into him. We also see that from the woman, right? Where God took the rib out of Adam and made it into the woman. God can take something and create it into something incredible. His name is Elohim. He is a creator God. Now let's take that to our own lives this morning. If you are a believer in Jesus Christ, first I want to say this. If you are a truly believer in Jesus Christ, you have experienced the power of Elohim in your life, the creator. Did he not come and snatch you out of the pit and make you into something new? We serve a creative God. I think we limit God because we can't understand him. I don't know why. Oh, we worry about all this. We worry about all that. We go through life. We struggle here. We don't understand things there. And if we would just sit back and think of who God is, all that should just go away. Because he lives inside me through his spirit. I am the temple of the Holy Spirit. God dwells in me. But do I live it that way? When my wife and I are running around feeling like we want to pull out our hair, we're trying to pay bills, we're trying to pick up kids, and all this stuff, Elohim's with us. We can do it. We have all experienced, if you are a believer in Jesus Christ, the power of God, the power of Elohim. It says in 2 Corinthians 5:17, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he's a new creation. The old is gone, the new has come. That is the power of Elohim. He can speak things that do not exist into existence, into our life. Ephesians 2:10 says this, for we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. And then Ephesians 1:4-6, it says, even as he chose us before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and blameless before him. In love, he predestined us for adoption as sons through Jesus Christ, according to the purpose of his will, to the praise of his glorious grace, with which he has blessed us in the beloved. We have been made new in Christ. If we have the worship team come forward. The question I want to ask you today, do you need a fresh touch of Elohim today? Do you need him to come in? Just like I shared in the last couple of weeks, I talked about that we serve a God of new beginnings. We serve a God who's a powerful designer. He has the power to transform our lives. He has the power to help us overcome temptation. He has the power to bring new things into our life. He has the power to strengthen us, to give us wisdom, to give us guidance. Do you need a fresh touch, a fresh guidance from Elohim this morning? We all need power of Elohim in our lives. You know, I kind of think of this more. This week I went and saw, some of you guys may know that Aunt Dizzy's in the hospital. She has pneumonia, a broken rib. She has a blood clot in her leg. I mean, just had a lot all of a sudden happening. Do you think she needs the power of Elohim? Either heal her, maybe take her home, and it's time for God saying, hey, come be with me. My love. She needs the power of Elohim in her life. Or I think of Roscoe today. As Pauline was telling me, Roscoe's at the point of her life right now that she doesn't even want to keep living. Does she need the power of Elohim to come in and create hope where there is no hope? Purpose when there is no purpose? Meaning when there's no meaning? Where are you at this morning? As we worship this song, as you worship, come to Elohim. Come to the Creator. Come to him who's outside of time. He's all omnipresent, all omnipotent. He's all powerful. He's there. He wants to lead us. He wants to guide us. He wants to be our God. Come to him and worship and ask him, Lord, I ask that you make something new in me. Let us worship.